I wanted to introduce to you tonight those who are bringing us the word. I don't know that you've had a chance to meet them, at least not all of you. But we have Dr. Terrence Gadsden with us tonight. He is going to be DJing on his day job. He is a campus pastor and chaplain at North Park. I keep getting those two mixed up. I'm sorry. At North Park, outside of Chicago. And part of his work, both in his dissertation and in his work at the school, is to translate the gospel into a way that that young people can understand it. And he does that through hip hop. And bringing the word through hip hop means a lot of translating of the context into the context of the young people, into bringing Jesus, hip hop, and young people together in some beautiful ways. So we are excited that he will be leading us here on this table tonight. And joining him also is my good friend, Pastor Jonathan Brooks, also known as Pastor Jay. And Pastor Jay is an artist, he is a theologian, and he is a pastor. He is an artist in the hip-hop genre, and for those of you that were in the workshop, you discovered that hip-hop is not just a style of music, but it is a culture and way of being. But he is an artist that expresses that art through hip-hop, but he also, side note, has an undergrad degree in architecture. So if you want to geek him out, you can take him around and show him all of the lovely buildings in the neighborhood, and he will talk nonstop about those. He is also a theologian. He regularly understands how different contexts need to receive the gospel in different ways. Whether that is on the south side or west side of Chicago in two of the churches he's pastored. Most recently, he has stepped into the pastoral role at Lawndale Community Church in the Lawndale neighborhood. For those of you involved in CCDA, Christian Community Development Association, this is where CCDA's offices are, and they are very active in their neighborhood. So again, you can get him talking pretty much nonstop about the work that's going on there and those relationships. So he understands how the context needs to receive the gospel in different ways, whether it's in the Lawndale neighborhood of Chicago or among white folks, like many of us here. he is able to understand the contexts and the words that are needed to bring the word and us together in some beautiful ways. So he is a theologian and a missiologist, but he is also, most importantly, a pastor. Pastor Jay is a weaver together of all of these things, whether it's art or theology or missiology, into the gospel. He is looking to embody faithfulness in all of those, to look for the forsaken, and to find the beauty and the presence of God in things and places and people that are forsaken, and to weave those together into a beautiful multi-textured version of what God is doing in all places. And so we are really thrilled to have both of these two guys with us this evening, and look forward to the word that they will bring us.
Evening. Pastor Jonathan and I talked a few days ago about his preaching in today's service, and he talked about the language of God, or the language of the good news, is that of service. I'm going to keep talking into it to give her a chance to figure out how to fix the problem. But the language of God, the language of good news, of the good news, is service, especially to those who are in great need. And so again, this is a time for all of you who are here, who are pastors and teachers, to also be served. So that we might come back into God's name. So I'm going to start with this call to worship, which is a text from the Byzantine liturgy. The wisdom of God that restrains the untamed fury of the waters that are above the firmament, that settles a bridle on the deep and keeps back the seas, now pours water in a basin, and the master washes the feet of his servant. The name of God is mercy. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, you established the new covenant of reconciliation. Your Son, who emptied himself, your Son who humbled himself, who gave all of himself, nailed on a cross. Your Son whom you raised, whom you exalted, that by his name all might be saved. Grant that all who are born again in baptism, may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. O Lord, grant this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Our scripture reading for this evening comes from the book of Zechariah, the 9th chapter, 9 through 12 verses. It says this: rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you triumphant and victorious is he, humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today, I declare that I will restore to you double. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. As we jump into the word today, I want us to jump into it in a sacramental and God-honoring way, but I also want us to lean into the beauty of God's creation. God, the creator of culture. God, the creator of all things. And I thought, what an appropriate passage. Maybe you didn't notice, but this is a war passage. And I was like, we chose the war passage for the peacemaking conference. But what I love about the passage is that in this passage, although God is commanding peace, he does not shy away from the battle. that peace is not something that's just offered, but it's something we'll battle for. And so what we want to do is talk to you today a little bit about how we fight for peace in our communities, in our culture. And we feel like we're coming from a cultural place, the culture of hip-hop, that has been fighting for peace, fighting for respect, and fighting for honor since its inception. And since we believe that God is on the side of the oppressed, we're here to let you know that God is on the side of hip-hop. So, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to kick this thing off. Everybody, when I say, go DJ, you say, that's my DJ. Y'all ready? Go DJ.
That's my DJ.
Y'all good. All right. Now, DJ Rock On is going to speak to you first through the turntables. Lots of instruments have been played on this stage. I see a beautiful grand piano, guitars. That's a clarinet over there. I see a cajon. There's lots of great instruments here. We are introducing you to another instrument. Now, I know typically when you see this, you think party. And there's nothing wrong with that. But today we want to transform this instrument that you thought only could rock parties into an instrument that will lead you into worship. And so our worship leader, the DJ, where hip-hop started, today is DJ Rock On. And so we want you to join us as he intros us, and then we're going to take ourselves on a little journey, continue to talk about peacemaking today. Y'all ready? All right, go DJ!
It is indeed a pleasure to have this privilege to play here for you. We intend to give you a very fine program, so just settle back, relax, and enjoy the moment.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classics.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high.
Welcome to Turntablism 101. Can y'all give it up for DJ Rock On? Praise the Lord, y'all. All right, y'all. So how many of you know that the love of God is not temporary? And I'm so thankful for it. The love of God is forever. And so this next joint is just a simple, it's an intro to hip-hop, because we got to get you. Hip-hop is call and response, right? And hip-hop was created out of this sense of everybody belongs. Everybody participates. Nobody's a standard by. Nobody watches. Everybody's part of the show because everybody has value. And so there'll be times where I'll ask you to say something, you just say it back to me, right? It's just call and response. If I say, when I say your love is forever, you just repeat it back to me. Your love is forever. Your love is forever. Your love is forever. Your love is forever. If I switch it up, say your hope is forever. Your hope is forever. Your joy is forever. Your joy is forever. Oh yeah, y'all natural hip hoppers. I'm telling you, you're naturals. It's call and response, it's back and forth. This song is just a reminder to us that in the midst of all of our peacemaking, in the midst of finding it difficult at times, anybody ever been trying to be a peacemaker and it not done turn out quite the way you thought it would turn out? It's good to know that all those results are not on us. God's love is forever, and God's love is for everyone. All we're called to do is be conduits to that love, all right? So we're going to go ahead and do this one. This is actually a very fun one. So the words go kind of fast at first, so I'm going to stand back here next to the DJ. I want you just to pay attention to the words. If you can pick up on the first words, you know, go ahead. If you can't, just read along. That part will go past quick, and then we'll get to the love is forever part. I know you can do that. All right?
If you're able to stand, please stand with us.
Yep. Succeed. He already declared the victory. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell the story. Put faith, we are walking testimonies. The light is the kingdom and the glory. And we're praising you forever because you're holy. Mother God, the King. So how can you stand against the enemy? The one who may fall but won't succeed. We already declared the victory. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell the story. By faith we are walking testimonies. The Lord is the kingdom and the glory. And we're praising you forever because you're holy, yeah.
Y'all hear it? Yeah, y'all hear it? That's good, that's good. All right, sing it with him now. Say,
your love is forever. Your love is forever. Say, your love is forever. Say, your love is forever. Say it loud, your love is forever. Your love is forever. Say, your love is forever. Yeah, your love is forever. Say, your hope 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 is forever. Say, your peace is forever.
Your peace is forever.
Say, your peace is forever.
Your peace is forever.
Your peace is forever.
Peace is forever.
Say, your peace is forever.
Your peace is forever.
Say, Christ is forever.
Christ is forever.
I'm glad Christ is forever.
Christ is forever.
Say, Christ is forever.
Christ is forever.
I'm glad Christ is forever. Now turn to your neighbor and say, his love is forever. Tell him his love is forever. Tell him his love is forever. Tell him his love is forever. Now get out and walk around. Tell somebody else real quick. You're going to tell them the same thing, all right? Get out your seat. You say his love is forever. Tell him his love is forever. Say his love is forever. Tell him his love is forever. Say it loud. His love is forever. Say his love is forever. Say his love is forever. His love is forever. Tell three more people, his love is forever. His love is forever. Come on, his love is forever. His love is forever. Oh, y'all look good. Say, his love is forever. His love is forever. Say, his love is forever. Say his love is forever. Say his peace 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 is forever. How many of you glad to know that God's love lasts forever? God's peace lasts forever. And no matter how much trouble we see, we know that we'll never, ever, ever have to worry about the love of Christ. The Bible tells us clearly, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Amen? Amen. Somebody give God some praise for the love of God. All right, now, we'll pause it first. Yeah. Now, this next one right here I want to do is I'm going to do an acapella without a beat, but I'm going to have the words up there, so I'm going to try to stay with the words. Hopefully that works. But I want you to hear the words because we're talking about peacemaking here. And what I think sometimes is we read verses like Matthew 5, 6, in the Beatitudes, and it says, blessed are the peacemakers. Makers. Okay, y'all read it before. For they shall be called the children of God. I think we sometimes read it and think it says, blessed are the peacekeepers. Because what we try to do is move or find ourselves in the most peaceful situations we can find. We don't want trouble. We don't want uncomfortability. We don't want anything to, our children's schools to have any turmoil. These are our kids. So we want to be peacekeepers. We want to go to the most peaceful place, have the most peaceful lives, have the most peaceful neighborhoods, the most peaceful churches, and then just keep it that way, God. But if we're going to be peacemakers, there's an inference on that you have to go to where there may not be a lot of peace. The children of God show up in places where peace is often absent, and they make peace. Those are the children of God. And so I want to talk a little bit about my philosophy of place and ministry and why I don't move towards comfortability. I believe that's the idol of the church today, especially in America, is comfortability at all costs. If you're called to be a peacemaker, you got to move towards places where peace is absent. So this one, dodge bullets is what I call it, all right? Bullets can fly, pull it and try. But you'll be surprised, the look in my eyes should prove I don't lie. With God on my side, I no longer die. I'm stronger because I'll ascend to the sky to live with my God. So why? Should I be scared of where I reside? Bullets fly everywhere just like they fly in the sky. So why have so many made the burbs they home? Don't get me wrong, that's cool if it's where you belong. But living out there don't make life sweet. Bodies found in the woods instead of lying in the streets. No disrespect. I don't mean to sound morbid, but I hate when folks believe they found gold when they move to a place where it's quiet at night. Quiet don't mean safe, plus what makes comfortable right. We used to live in catacombs in fear of the lions. Now we live in lavish homes in fear of the violence. I understand wanting to keep your family safe, but you ain't really stopping much with your community gates. I wish I could throw my hands up and bullets drop to the floor, but now I throw my hands up because I ain't scared no more. See, I see the world for who it is and understand the gospel. Although I could dodge bullets, I no longer have to. I wish I could throw my hands up and bullets drop to the floor, but now I throw my hands up because I ain't scared no more. I see the world for who it is and understand the gospel. Although I could dodge bullets, I no longer have to. Peacemakers. Wherever God places us, we are representatives of God there. And you know what? Is it all right if I let my DJ talk to y'all about this for a little bit? All right, it's all right. Go DJ. They done owned you, not DJ Rock on. I love it. All right? Y'all go ahead and grab a seat real quick. Listen to DJ Rock on this one.
I'm not one of those preachers that's going to come and promise you there'll be no problem. I'm not one of those ministers that's going to promise you there's going to be total prosperity, no sickness, no trauma, no negative circumstances. To tell you that would be to play God, and I'm not God. There's only room for one God. I'm not he. busted in the storms of life. The storms of life. Storms of life. The storms of life. Deep. Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life, because he is sovereign over the circumstances of life. Trusted in the storms of life, because he is sovereign over the circumstances of the
Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life because he's sovereign over the circumstances. What I believe we can get from this passage, Zechariah 9, is an understanding of what it really means to be peacemakers and what our responsibility is as those who have been given the opportunity to make peace happen. Now, it's not missed on me that this passage is the passage that it prophesies Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Right? That is a huge piece of this thing. The Prince of Peace is being prophesied by a war passage as he rides triumphantly into the city to be killed by military soldiers. Anybody starting to see like the dichotomy that God is using for this story? This is crazy. But I'm not too surprised by that, because the dichotomy of my life is that I am a part of hip-hop culture, which is often demonized by the very people that God used hip-hop to get me closer to. I live in these dichotomies. If it wasn't for hip-hop, I wouldn't know Jesus. So, as we think about peacemaking today, and as we think about Zechariah 9, I want to point out some things that just jumped out to me in the passage, and then I'm going to get out the way. I think it's an interesting passage, and there's some interesting nuggets to pull out of it. The first one that I want to talk about is our expectations. So in this passage, this is about an enemy advancing on Jerusalem to take them, but God defending them. Okay, God, Jesus can be trusted in the circumstances of life because he's sovereign over the circumstances. So this is God saying, I'll defend you, but I have some expectations of you when it happens. So here's what he says. He says that you can rejoice, you can shout loud, because your king is coming to you triumphant and victorious. The enemy did not defeat him. The enemy was not triumphant over him. Your king is coming back, and he is triumphant. He's a winner. But when he gets back, there are some expectations. This is when we get to verse 10. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to all the nations. When I first read that, I was like, look at God. God is breaking the bow and cutting off the chariot. And I was like, God loves us. God just taking care of business. That's why we pray. Lord, grant us peace. Lord, stop the gunshots. Lord, stop the violence. Lord, hey, we just sit in our churches and pray that God will come fix it. But that's not what the passage says. God was already defending. God made them victorious. Who was going to make sure that the peace was maintained? Because God was on the outside making sure that it could be initiated. Your king, the one that I made victorious, the one that I allowed to come back into the city, the one that I allowed to come back into the kingdom, he will cut off the chariot. He will remove the war horse. He will break the battle bow. He will command peace for all the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. Oh, man, I started looking at this thing going, wait a minute. So God initiates the opportunity for peace by defending us from the enemy. But the work of actually making the peace happen is on he who was protected. Okay, y'all gonna get that a little later in the shower. Okay, let me say it one more time. Right? Like, God initiates this opportunity for peace by protecting you from the enemy. The actual initiation of the peace, the breaking of the bow, the cutting off the chariot, the moving of the war horse, the commanding of peace is the responsibility of the one who's been protected by God. I'm going to ask a question. Is there anybody in the room where God has protected you? Oh, yeah. Some of y'all don't want to raise your hand. Dang it. Because that means I'm expected. Yes. God's plan is not for you to sit back and pray for peace to happen. You pray because you know that the only way you can do it is if the enemy is kept away from the camp. And so, God, we need you to hold the enemy at bay, to make conducive environment for us to be peacemakers. God, we need you to protect our walls. We need you to be outside while we make peace. That's the responsibility of those that God has protected. Our responsibility is not to sit back, be as comfortable as possible, and then pray that our neighbors also get a piece of that peace. Mm-mm. It is for us to be peacemakers, to walk over to our neighbors and say, how do we live together in a way to where the peace that I experience and the peace that you experience, we share with one another and we continue to make more peace happen. Blessed are the peace makers, for they shall be called the children of God. Not only do we have expectations, but I want you to know that God is not off the hook. God does have participation. Y'all look at what it says. Lo, your king comes to you triumphant and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He says, hey, I kept your king well. I protected you. I made sure that those who were mine had the opportunity to rule the way that I have called them to rule, to lead the way I've called them to lead, to make peace happen the way I've asked them to make peace happen. I've done my job. That is my participation. Then he jumps down to verse 11 and he says, after the dominion and after you do your part, in verse 11, as for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Yes, God. God will set the prisoners free if we do our expected part. Because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Then he says, at the very end of this thing, my favorite little line, this is God's participation. Somebody say, today. Oh, you got to say it. I'm a black preacher. Say, today.
Today.
There you go. Today, I declare that I will restore to you double. Double of what, God? Double of what? Well, that leads to my last point. We already figured out our expectations. We've already figured out God's participation. The last thing to talk about is our response. This is what I love about this passage. God decides to start with our response to who he is. First verse, rejoice greatly. Shout aloud. Then he says this, return to your stronghold. I was like, return to our stronghold? Wait, God, strongholds are bad, aren't they? Right, like, one of the sayings we say, we have a recovery home at our church called the Hope House. And one of the sayings we say at our recovery home is, if you stay too long, what was meant to be a fortress becomes a stronghold. Y'all get it? It was supposed to protect you from the outside. But if you get too comfortable and not ever ready to leave and get back into taking care of your family and all the things you need to do, this becomes your stronghold, and now it's holding you in. It's no longer protecting you from the outside. It's actually trapping you in. Well, so I started looking at this thing, and I said, man, return to your stronghold. I don't know, God. And then it hit me. He said, return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. What's he saying? Your strongholds are not what holds you down anymore. Your stronghold I want you to return to is not the stronghold of comfortability and everything's all right and perfect. It's not the stronghold of every T is crossed, every I is dotted. It's not the stronghold of everybody has manicured lawns and perfect homes. It's not the stronghold of my kids go to a perfect school with an A-plus grade rating. It's not the stronghold of I have enough money in the bank and perfect savings and a retirement plan. It's the stronghold of no matter where I find myself, no matter how hard things look, no matter what's coming in front of me, I hope in Christ alone. That's a different kind of stronghold. That's a trying stronghold that will help you hold strong. That's a different kind of stronghold. This is not a stronghold that's trapping you in. It's a stronghold that's moving you forward. He says, oh, prisoners of hope, don't you ever give up hope. You won't worry about whether or not you're peacekeeping or peacemaking when your hope is in Christ. It won't matter if everything is working out perfectly if your hope is in Christ. It doesn't matter where God tells you to move, live, worship, sit, whatever you, if you hope in Christ, God is in control of the circumstances of life anyway. So wherever God says to go, you say, let's go. Oh, to be a prisoner of hope. Oh, to be a prisoner of hope. Prisoners of hope sound crazy. They're the people who get a pink slip at their job and they're like, God is good. They're the people who find themselves with more month than they have money, and yet somehow they wake up and go, isn't God good today? These are the people who wake up and find out that they've been diagnosed with a terminal illness and yet still say, but my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or think, so all is well. These are prisoners of hope. Have you ever been around somebody who's so hopeful that it makes you sick? You know, just can't get them down. No matter what's coming at them, they got hope. It's going to work out. It's going to be fine. You want to be angry. You want to be frustrated. And they're like, it's going to be all right. God's calling us to be prisoners of hope. We can't get out of it. We're so hopeful that we don't know how to be anything else. That is the characteristic of a peacemaker. Someone who never gives up. And I'm going to tell you what hip-hop is. I'm going to tell you what hip-hop. Hip-hop is hopelessly hopeful. Hopelessly hopeful. We're going to turn a dollar out of 15 cents. We're going to take the tragedy and oppression that you tried to give us and make a worldwide culture out of it. You're going to take music out of the schools and say there's no more instruments, and we're going to take our parents' old rusty turntables, their disco records, and make a new genre of music. You're going to tell us you're nothing but gangbangers and violent people who fight and kill and shoot, and we'll make crews get airbrush jackets and wear shell-toes Adidas and dance it out on the floor instead. You'll tell us your neighborhood is not worth keeping. The Bronx is burning and all your buildings are dilapidated, and we'll pull out spray paint cans and beautify them ourselves. Hopelessly hopeful. Sounds like the church to me. But here's what I want to end with. We all, I can tell, are people of transformation, people of hope, people who want to see the world look the way that God desires it, who want Jesus' prayer that he taught his disciples to come to fruition, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But can I tell you a secret? No matter how hard we work, no matter how hopeful we are,
No matter how many strategies we have, no matter how many development programs we put together, no matter how many churches we build, no matter how many things we do, nothing will ever change without the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus changing hearts, changing minds, changing systems, changing the ways that we live so that we have the space to be peacemakers. And so as we stand today, I want to remind you, keep working, but it's not your work that changes the world. Keep singing, keep praying, keep teaching, keep growing, keep building homes, keep doing all the things you do day by day, but at the end of the day, fall to your knees and say, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you are able, stand with us. And we want to close out our time as peacemakers, singing together, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Of course, hip-hop style. Come on, come on. Meditate on who God is and what we need. Sing it. Oh, precious.
Oh, precious is that that makes me white as snow.
No other.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All right, repeat after me. Say, yo, when I say Father, y'all say Son. Father, Father. When I say Father, y'all say Son. Father, Father.
For my part in this I see
nothing.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For my cleansing, y'all. For my cleansing, this might be nothing. One, two, three. Oh, precious.
Oh.
All right, listen, yo, when I say holy, y'all say ghost, holy, holy. When I say holy, y'all say ghost, holy, holy.
Nothing can force in a song.
Nothing.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Y'all sound good. Come on. Not.
Not of good that I have done.
Say nothing.
Nothing. The blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious.
Oh, precious is the blood
that makes me
white as snow.
No other.
No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood.
All right, pay attention, pay attention. Yo, when I say Father, y'all say Son. Father. Father, when I say holy, y'all say ghost, holy, holy.
This is all the hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my righteousness.
This is all my righteousness.
Say nothing. Sing it loud. Oh, precious.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Say, oh.
Oh, precious.
Y'all, let's give Jesus some praise for who he is, for the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. The triune God is working in us all, in every culture, in every place. And as we work together today to remind ourselves sacramentally that Jesus is with us and that service is our greatest gift, may we come together and wash each other's feet as a reminder that we are not peacekeepers, but peacemakers. Amen.
Friends, we gather here on this invitation, remembering that night in the upper room. As Jesus was at the table with his disciples, knowing that his hour had come, he got up, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around his waist. After pouring water in a basin, he bent down to wash the feet of his disciples. For the sake of love, Jesus humbled himself, and even now summons us to do the same. Together. This is the Christ, stooping down as a servant. This is the Christ, showing up in the fullness of it, his love. This is the mystery by which the world is saved. Friends, let us both receive and offer the ministry of Jesus and his love, for we belong to Christ.
Hallelujah. Thanks be to God.
Sisters and brothers, we, the wayward pilgrims that gather today, along with the countless others who long to see the face of God, we turn to God with the faces, our faces, set like flint on the task before us. And that is to become more and more what we already are, children of the one Father. And so we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The words of an American prophet who stood both inside and outside the church. His name was James Baldwin. We are walking in terrible darkness here. And this is one man's attempt to bear witness to the reality and the power of light. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for our time together. It continues. This service ends, but it continues. Give us the strength and the power to believe that you have a hand in every move and every action, that you are on the outside of the wall and on the inside, that when we cannot be the king, that you ask, and Queen, that you ask us to be, that you brought, gave us the person of Christ. You gave us the person of Christ to give us strength when we are weary, to pick us up when we are down, and to, yes, Lord, wash our feet when they are dirty. Give us the strength to believe that you have covered all things in your blood. Give us the strength to believe. Give us the courage to accept the love that you pour out from us in water and blood from the cross of Christ. The one who allowed himself to be crucified for our salvation, that we might be able to see, that our eyes might be open, and that ears might be cleared so that we can hear your voice crying out in the desert, "This is my son. He is my beloved with whom I am well pleased." And each of us who have been incorporated into the body of Christ, we too can say, "We are your son and daughter with whom you are well pleased." Give us the strength to never forget that your love is forever. Your love is forever. In this moment of sharing, this moment of touch, this moment of memory, to remember the plight of people who have struggled, might fortify us and feed us, that we might too have the strength to continue to be signs and sacraments of your grace wherever we go. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let the church say, amen. Brothers and sisters, let us share a sign as we leave of peace.